We are back in the new year, which means that we get our CEO of the Lakeview Clinic and Hospital, Greg Ruber, back on the line. Thank you, Greg, for showing up once again here on a Friday morning via phone, of course. Greg, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. And it's been a few weeks, so I'm sure you have some updates for us as far as COVID numbers and also vaccines. So go ahead.
All right. Well, we can start with the kind of the Lake County update first. So as of last night, we were at 581 cases. We had five new cases yesterday. We've had actually some really good news over the last week. We've had a couple of days of you know, four or five cases, which is much lower than the mid-20s that we had previously. We actually had a day with zero new cases added for Lake County. So, again, that was positive. We have seen some of the cases now coming in that have been related to Christmas gatherings and family gatherings, which we expected. But, again, numbers that are very manageable and very controllable in terms of healthcare resources.
That is good news. And so we've been through both holidays now, and now it's just a matter of getting through the winter.
Yeah, I think we'll have a little bit more to, you know, kind of see what happens with New Year's. But, you know, at the bigger hospitals in Duluth, we've had a few cases, like always, of people that said, you know, came in with some pretty significant symptoms and ended up with, you know, ICU care and said, I wish I wouldn't have done this. But, again, you know, that will continue. We just need to keep educating. But overall, I think Lake County is in a good position, and we've seen a lot less pressure on us in healthcare. So I think it's certainly something to celebrate and keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yep, and I know that it helps to be in part of a small community where everyone, I think, knows medical people working in the medical field, and that definitely gives us extra motivation to just give people at least a little bit of a rest, nothing else. So I'm glad to hear that that is bearing some fruit. Now, all the attention is on vaccines, Greg. What can you tell us about the availability of vaccines in Lake County?
So this has been the hot topic for about the last two or three weeks, or maybe even four, but I can kind of give you a summary of what we've done at Lakeview in terms of our staff and how that's gone. So we did our first employee vaccination of a nurse and physicians back on December 21st, so a couple of weeks ago now, and that went very smooth. We had our employees, we had actually had very good uptake of the vaccine, so we've done three rounds of COVID-19 vaccine for staff. And within phase 1A, which you'll see in the news a lot, there's three priorities. There's priority 1, 2, and 3 within phase 1A, and that's frontline healthcare workers. So we, this week, now we're on round 2 of those vaccinations, which means the people that got it back on the week of the 21st are now due for their second dose, and so that has happened this week. And we'll continue that for the next 2 weeks to get through all of that process. So that's gone well. We've had kind of the responses to the vaccine have been things as simple as soreness in the shoulder when you lie on it at night or trying to sleep, and that's exactly what I had. I had it about a week and a half ago now, and that night I rolled over in bed and felt a little bit of soreness, and by the next night it was less, and the third night it was gone. So for me, no fever, no chills, no aching. Some of our staff had that, you know, spent some time just kind of laying around the next day, but we're back and doing well. So that was good. As we were doing that, public health and our long-term care partners were working on their rollout. And so our local long-term care facilities in the community or in the county also rolled out their vaccine this week. And so residents and staff were getting the Moderna vaccine, which, again, will require a dose one now and then a second dose in 4 weeks versus three for the Pfizer. So that's all gone smooth.
So it sounds like there are two different vaccines that we have access to now. Am I hearing that right?
That is correct. Yep. So, all the healthcare, frontline healthcare workers receive the Pfizer, and in most of the public health and the long-term care facilities receive the Moderna. And the reason it was split out that way is, if you recall, the Pfizer requires the ultra cold storage. So there's a whole bunch of logistics challenges around the Pfizer vaccine that healthcare, I think, is just better prepared to really address.
Right.
And so we created a hub and spoke model within northeastern Minnesota where we've got certain facilities that have ultra-cold storage, and we store it there till we need it. We bring it to our facility, and once we thaw it out and mix it up, we have, 5 days to use it once it's been taken out of ultra-cold storage. So you've got to plan it exact. We do not want to waste a single dose of vaccine, and we haven't yet, which is great.
Yeah, that is great. And so now there are people of all levels of vulnerability and ages, and lots of questions floating around now about when will I be able to get the vaccine. I know it's complicated. What can you tell us about any kind of future predictions about when it will be available to, and I'm not even sure if it's tier 2 or tier 3 or B or C, But any information along those lines, I'm sure, will be very helpful.
Yeah, so I'll share what I know at this point, and there's still a lot of answers we don't have. So we know that phase 1B and 1C goes into a couple of different categories, one being essential workers. So, for example, firefighters and police officers and utility workers and kind of those public infrastructure positions, which are really important. Teachers are essential workers as well. So that's kind of the one category of that essential worker piece. And then you've got the people that are at the high risk, you know, the people that are over age 65 or 75, you know, depending on kind of that tiering, and those with pre-existing conditions or medical conditions that would make them more susceptible to COVID infection and poor outcomes. What we know right now is we have to follow guidance from the Minnesota Department of Health in terms of how we receive the vaccine and how we give it. So everything we've done so far has been in alignment with that guidance around this 1A. We are waiting anxiously for guidance around 1B and 1C and then, of course, future phases, and we just don't have it yet. The challenges are, number one, allocation. We've got vaccine in storage right now that we could give once we get the guidance to move forward. And so as soon as we do that, we will be putting those plans in place. We are working very closely with Lake County Public Health, and right after I get off this interview, we'll be doing our weekly call. Again, partnering up to find locations and staff and resources and coordination of when we get the green light to move forward, we're going to do it quickly because we want vaccine out into the community and we want to, you know, keep moving forward with that. And there's a lot of people that want it, of course.
Right. And do you know how the information will get to people that they are now in line?
Yeah, so there's a couple ways we're going to do this. So I've been doing Facebook posts about every 1 week to 10 days, up to 2 weeks of what we know at the time. So that's on the Lakeview Facebook page. We also put that on our intranet, which is our internal network, so all of our staff can read the most recent updates. We've been doing articles in the North Shore Journal with Kitty Mayo every week for the last 8 months or so, but we're now focusing on COVID vaccine. And then we're also going to use the North Shore Journal probably with an advertisement, a public message with Lake County Public Health and Lakeview, some combination, to say that we've got community vaccination. Here's what it looks like. Here's how we work through the process. So as soon as we know that, we'll share it. We've also talked about direct mailings, but the hard part for us, we can send that to our patients, but again, we just don't have enough information at this point to share that's specific enough to help people. So I keep putting it on Facebook, and then people are calling. I probably had 5 calls yesterday from people asking if they could be on a waiting list or if they could sign up or schedule, which we just haven't been able to do yet because there's some ethical issues around that. And so that's, again, part of the state guidance.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like I'm guessing just about everybody in this county, whatever their age, is able to either read the paper, pick up the phone, or get on online source or listen to the radio and find out in that way, you know, keep very updated so that I'm sure there's going to be lines. And but it sounds like you are already gearing up for being very organized around this. So hopefully it will all go well when it does get rolled out. Do you think we're talking days or weeks before we hear from the Department of Health?
I would hope within a week or two we'd have pretty clear guidance from MDH and the governor. The one thing that I would also share with the listeners is I've had a couple of phone calls from people saying, hey, you should call this county in Minnesota because they're doing this different. And I say they are doing it different. If you look at all 87 counties in Minnesota, I think you probably find 87 different approaches to how this is working. What's happening is there's some hospital or some counties and hospitals that are following the guidance exactly as it's been pushed out. There are some hospitals that want to maybe move forward quicker that don't have enough vaccine to do so. And then there's some progressive counties that just said, we're not going to waste those because if we took them out and we're either going to throw them away or we're going to go forward on kind of the protocol, we're just going to find essential workers and bring them and give it so we're not wasting it. So there's a wide variety of how that's being done, and there's probably no really right or wrong answer. We should all be doing it together and consistent and fair and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think the main thing is to remember that every county is unique and that we just need to trust our leadership to be doing it the very best way that is possible to do it.
Right.
All right. Well, Greg, we would love to think that vaccine provides the single magic bullet that's going to solve all our problems with COVID, but we really know that it is more than that. Do you want to talk a little bit, just as a final question, about the underlying issues that will or will not be addressed with the vaccine and what's going to happen, you know, once there is a widespread vaccine? Does that is it COVID going to go away, or what else would you like to say about that?
Sure. So a lot of the questions that I received up front in terms of local health care here was, do you think the vaccine is safe and are you going to get it? And so I did a lot of research. I spoke with our physician teams, our infectious disease specialists within our system, read articles across all kinds of different journal articles, and I felt very comfortable getting my vaccine. I had no hesitation, and I certainly will get my second one, and that's all fine. I think when you look at when this pandemic first hit, we had a couple of choices to make. There was a lot of uncertainty. We didn't understand COVID well. There was a lot of fear and anxiety. And we kind of went all in with this, we need a vaccine. And so I agree that vaccines are very, very important in the management of COVID. And I think the recommendation by the majority of experts is get it. And the more people that get it, the better off we're going to be. I think the challenge, the question I'm getting now from people, and I think our providers are getting, is, well, I've been hearing that there's a new strain, or I'm hearing that this is mutating to be different in across overseas, and now that's come to the U.S., I think, five states. And that's just what viruses do. I mean, we've seen this with influenza. We've seen it with the cold. And what we want to happen is this thing to become less severe or less significant in resulting in mortality or morbidity. The vaccine will help with that. But also there's the whole issue about transmission. This is supposed to be more contagious, this new strain. But again, vaccine is never the only tool that we have. It's very important, and we need to keep down this road. But it goes back to looking at public health infrastructure and appropriate health care and health and wellness and really focusing on the population and becoming more healthy as a country and as a state and as a county and a city, all of that. We can't just rely on when the next virus comes, we're going to scramble and do another vaccine to cure that one or to mitigate that one. So, I think there's a bigger picture. I think what we're doing right now is very important. I think it's going to help, but we cannot lose sight of the bigger focus of we need to become healthier as Americans so that we can fight these viruses and we can address the mutations that happen in all of those.
Yeah, I'd love to think that at some point the energy and time and funding will be able to go to all the alternative therapies with, very few side effects and that really might help or might not, but just we don't know yet because, widespread study has not been done, which takes widespread funding. So that's all in our future, I hope. Is that accurate?
It is, and I think as a country, and we've got a lot of challenges in our country right now that we need to get through, of course, but I think if you look at this, we thought, from a public health standpoint, when you talk about influenza vaccine, we had pretty good infrastructure in place and pretty good process to get it out and get people vaccinated and educate for the most part. But this is, I think, it shed some light on some of the gaps that we have in terms of countywide and statewide and national, kind of across the countries. How do we do this? But I agree with you. I think we need to learn. We need to learn about how can we address a virus like this with a vaccine, but with all kinds of other potentially successful tools or approaches. Again, exactly what you said. There might be other treatments that we learn about in terms of virus control or keeping more management of viruses that will be helpful. So again, I think we just can't think that vaccine is always going to be our answer, which, again, it's important, but it's not the only answer.
Right. And right now, it's in this place at this time, it's very important. And so hopefully people will take that to heart and get in line when it's their turn. And we'll see a gradually improving situation over time. Thank you so much, Greg, for coming on once again. And hope to hear you again next week.
That sounds great. Have a great week.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. That was Greg Ruberg, CEO of the Lakeview Clinic and Hospital, reporting to us on his weekly interview with KTWH. We're hearing lots of good feedback about this interview, and I think people really depend on it. So thank you for listening, and don't forget to support KTWH, which puts out a lot of energy to be your community radio station.